number 1, 21-507, if you could come forward. My goodness, they're awfully close today.
Can I just...
Hi!
Yes. A witness came in for you, I don't know if you know...
On Bridgeport?
Are you Bridgeport? Yes?
No.
No. I don't know, you said it was a witness for...
I do not believe I have a witness.
Okay, sorry. I just want to make sure that...
Thank you.
That's not on this case?
No.
Okay.
Again, I don't know. But no, not for this case.
Okay. All right, sir, can you please introduce yourself for the record, spelling your last name, indicating the authority you're representing here today?
Thank you, Lieutenant Douglas Sauve, S-A-U-V-E, for the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection.
Okay. And counsel?
Yes, Attorney James Saraceni for the appellant. And that's S-A-R-A-C-E-N-I.
Thank you, counsel. And would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, so this is a suitability case that does have some accelerated rehabilitation involvement regarding pending felony charges. However, the state's case today will not rest on whether or not accelerated rehabilitation is granted, but rather on the pure suitability of what occurred on these events. This was on 11-16-2020. The appellant had a argument, a verbal argument, with a cashier at a store, a convenience store. The argument escalated into the parking lot, whereupon the appellant drew a firearm on the clerk and threatened him with a second firearm that was at his waistband in a holster. The issuing authority will show the appellant is unsuitable to possess a permit. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, please. With regard to the fact that these files are sealed, and I don't believe that the state can put forward any personal knowledge of the facts, and for those reasons, I think that they'll be unable to sustain any burden of proof. All of the information I was just given comes from sealed records.
Right.
May I make a rejoinder to that briefly on the
Sure. Admissibility
of the sealed records? The AR is in progress. It is not complete until June 26, 2024. Therefore, the case is not erased and the reports are in play. I believe the board does have those reports in its packet today and can rely on their own review of those reports to proceed. Thank you.
We do have those documents in the package. All right. The state can proceed.
Thank you. I have no witness to call today. I've asked the board to rely on the reports so referenced.
Is that it?
That is my case.
Oh.
I would like to cross-examine however they
call. Very well.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, there's nothing to cross-examine there, sir. Would you like to proceed?
Well, I'm sorry. Do you want to put out, tell us what? I mean, we have the reports, but as you know, we also have 10 cases, and how detailed they were read, I don't know.
Well,
if you could explain to me what your case is beyond...
Certainly, yeah, I can give my own view of it. As the attorney noted, I do not have personal knowledge of these facts. However, I can give you my view, and that can be accepted by the board or rejected.
Well,
based on
not your opinion, but what the reports
say. What the reports say,
because we do have a record here.
I could read portions of the report into the record. The board would indulge that.
So these reports were sent to counsel?
Yes, they were disclosed with the attendant.
And there was no objection received. So, sir, the way that this works is the files submitted to you, I'm sure you have them anyways, but then you would have 10 days to object. If they're not objected to, those reports have already been provided to the board. We've already reviewed them, so we already have them in the package.
So my objection would be that his reading of the reports is basically what he's going to be testifying to is hearsay. The board has the reports, they stand on their own, and they're there. And so the board's had an opportunity to review them.
Yep.
So I would object to him cherry picking pieces of the report.
Okay, that's sustained.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, that having been settled, would you like to proceed with the case?
Yes. Sir, would you tell the board your age?
38.
And prior to the incident that brought you here today, what if all involved had, did you have with the police or the court system?
Zero.
And are you currently employed?
Yes.
And what do you do for a living?
I'm a construction worker for the Connecticut Carpenters Union. I've been here for about 4 years now, so.
And how long ago approximately did this happen?
4 years ago. About three years.
Sir, if you could continue to speak up.
There's
two mic, just so you know, and so everybody knows, there's two microphones. This is for us to transcribe.
Okay.
That's for the TV. That neither one is amplifying, okay. So you have to make sure everybody's can hear.
That.
That's fine.
I've been here for about been in the union about three years and 2 months or so. You know, so about that time when everything transpired, it was around the same time I started working in the union.
Okay. And since the incident that brought you here today, have you had any involvement with the police or the courts?
No.
And can you briefly tell the board how this incident began?
Briefly. It's like, where do I start? I got a phone call from my aunt. So she needed some assistance to help my grandmother in the house. She just came from the hospital, excuse me. And no problem. So my venture over there, I had to stop to the gas station, get some gas, and grab some products.
I'll ask some questions. So once you're in the store, did anything happen?
The guy, he seemed upset.
The guy being the clerk?
Yes, the clerk. He seemed a little upset, and like, I asked for my product. He threw it down to me. I said, you don't have to throw it down to me. You know, just a little respect goes a long way. He got belligerent, said I'm not a racist. I never said he was a racist. Don't think like that. It's not the type of bone in my body. Like, you know what I mean? I was raised better than that. So I walked outside after the disrespect. I was on the phone with a friend, and I told her, I'll give you a call right back. I'm going to take a picture of this gentleman in his vehicle so I can report it to the owner and let him know how he's treating everyone here. And I did that. He came outside from behind his safety, came outside, and I guess was trying to take a picture of my license plate, but I didn't feel comfortable with him behind me because I'm pumping my gas. So I lift my trunk open, I said, you want to take a picture? Go in the front, walk in the front of my car so I can see you and you can see me. So he slammed the trunk down on my car. And I'm at that time, I'm trying to get space from him from my vehicle so he could, like, no, leave me alone. I haven't done anything. I didn't threaten him in any manner. I didn't threaten to tear the store up or anything like that. I said, I'm going to take a picture and report you to your manager, your boss. And that's exactly what I did. I still have the pictures of the guy in his vehicle in my phone from that day. After my gas was finished pumping, let me backtrack a little bit. So after everything was going down, he stayed out there. That's when I went and got my firearm and showed him that I'm legal as well. Like, can you back up?
Let me interrupt for a second. What was it that prompted you to get your firearm?
He came outside and he had his firearm on his side. So it's like you're sitting behind bulletproof glass for no reason. I didn't threaten you. Come outside to, I guess, intimidate me, scare me, whatever the case
may
be.
He had his firearm on his side. Do you mean he was holding it, or was it in a holster?
It's like he brushed his coat back, because he had a jacket on. It's like he brushed his coat back to show me that.
Not in his hand.
No, not in his hand.
And what was his demeanor when he was outside with you?
Very argumentative, just looking for something. I felt he was looking for something for me to do something so he can have the cause to harm or do anything, he wasn't trying to come out there and calm the situation down over there. He just wanted to keep going on and on and on about the situation.
Okay. And you mentioned that you retrieved your firearm.
Yes.
And why did you retrieve your firearm?
Because I was scared. I didn't know what to do.
And where was your firearm?
It was in my front seat.
And it was not on you?
No.
Okay. And did you have another firearm on you at the time?
No.
After the incidents occurred at the pumps. At some point, did he go back into the slope?
Yes.
And what did you do?
I got in my car, got on the highway as I was going to my aunt and my grandmother, and I called the police immediately to let them know what transpired.
Okay. So you called the police department?
Yes.
Okay. And did you meet them at your residence at their request?
I was on the phone with the dispatch lady and to, you know, let her know what I was doing, what I had to do, which was help my grandmother, and honestly, go to the grocery store to get some snacks for my son. That's what I told her, and that's exactly what I did.
All right, and prior to arriving at the house, knowing that you're going to be meeting the police, did you do anything?
As I pulled up, I seen a police officer about a house away from the house that I live in. I pulled to the saddle. I asked some officer, "Are you here for Marcus Thomas?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, I'm him. I'm gonna pull over. This is my house." He said, "Okay, just wait. I'm waiting for my backup to arrive." I said, "All right, no problem." So once I put the car in park and it got situated, I took the clip out of my gun. I emptied the gun and pulled the chamber back and locked it. So and sat out of my front seat. So when the second officer came, he told me to step out the car, and I told her. She asked me where the gun was at. I told her where it was at, and it was right there as I told her. You know, everything was cleared. I thought about the officer. Didn't want any confrontation or anything. I just want everything to go as smooth as possible in this terrible situation. So.
And did you ever point your firearm at?
I honestly don't have no recollection, but if I did, it was just only meant to get some space, and I was trying to show the gun to my son. That's it.
Fair to say that you only use your firearm to protect yourself.
That's it. I'm not a troublemaker. Like I said, I've been in Bridgeport for 38 years of my life. Never ever have I ever wanted to be in a situation like that or go looking for anything like that. That's not what I do. I raised my son to be a man, and if you make your mistakes, you sit there and you fix your mistakes. I understood I made a mistake. That should detail my whole life. It's been 4 years since that happened. Even before that, I've never ever disrespected no one. I reached out to hurt anything, nothing, because I don't want that to happen to me or any one of my loved ones. So, always treat everybody with the utmost respect,
And just to highlight something you said, immediately upon leaving, you dialed 911 and called the police.
Yes. Okay.
And nothing.
Thank you, Councilor Cross.
Thank you. Do you need a moment, sir? Thank you. When you went out of the store to go pump gas after this initial confrontation, when you came back in, did you say anything to the clerk?
I just took his picture.
You took his picture?
I just took his picture and took a picture of his license. And that was it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a reporter to his boss, his manager, and that was it. That's all I did.
You took a picture at his plate?
I took a picture of him and his license plate. That was it.
Did you say anything to him at that moment?
I'm going to call you. I'm going to let your boss know how you're talking to people in this community.
So nothing like I've got something for you or anything.
No,
like that?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't make threatening names. No. So I didn't go in there with any hostility.
Yeah.
I just started working for the union. I'm in great spirits. I don't have nothing to be upset for. I'm sorry.
What was your view of why he was trying to close your trunk, and why did you open the trunk to begin with?
I wanted him to walk to the front of the vehicle if he wanted to take a picture of my license plate so we can have a more distance. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because my trunk is a small trunk. So it was like, you have to be close to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that. Like, if you have a problem with me, just go to the front and take a picture of the license.
So were you opening the trunk to get the plate from him?
I opened my trunk, they actually did some things out of there, mm-hmm. but that's for work and stuff like that. But I turned around, he's coming out of the door, and I'm like, what are you doing?
Do you think he closed the trunk so he could take a picture of your plate?
I'm not sure what his motive was, but I just know that he slammed my trunk down. My trunk is very heavy and it's very loud, so it's they don't have the pumps on it, so don't close slow. So it's very loud. You shouldn't be slamming my stuff. You know.
Okay.
But still, then I didn't threaten him in any manner. Even after that, I was running. If you want to take a picture, go around.
Okay. So he had a gun on him.
Yes.
Did you have, for my own clarity, because there may be an ambiguous referent in here, the way it was written, did you have two guns on you at the time?
No, sir.
Do you own two guns?
Yes. I actually own three.
Three.
The other two are in the safe and been in there since I bought the guns.
Okay. And those are all Glocks or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All Glocks. He had his gun in the holster when he approached?
Yeah.
Where was your gun?
In the front seat.
Yeah. In the front seat. And then can you describe to me what happened after that point? Did you reach in to grab your gun? Did you holster it? What happened?
I got the gun from the front seat and I held it here. So he could see that I was holding the gun.
Mm-hmm. So you had it then in your hand?
Yes.
And did you point it at him or in his general direction?
I'm not even, like I said, everything is a little hazy from that part. I was just trying to get out of there and go home.
Did you see anybody else at the gas station?
It was just me and the older woman at first. She was pumping her gas on the opposite side of me.
Was she driving like a SUV or something?
I'm not even sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's been a few years. The witness later came back and corroborated what the clerk was saying. Do you disagree with her recollection of the facts that you pointed the gun at the clerk?
If she says that I did that, like I said, I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little hazy. So,
that part is hazy. And then you, after, tell me what happened from the hazy part where you maybe pointed the gun, maybe didn't, and then you drove away. What happened next?
I drove away, got on the highway, and I called her 911. I called dispatch.
Okay. Did you go back into the store to get the clerk to come out of the store?
Never.
Okay.
Never.
Yeah.
My intent was to take a picture of him, and that was it, just to show his manager who I'm speaking about, because I don't know if it's more than one clerk that worked there. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I just took his picture to let his boss know who I'm talking about and you shouldn't treat people like this, especially in the neighborhood, you know, in the community that helps. Get your business going. So that was my whole intention. It wasn't to go in there to hurt, harm, threat, anything, him or the store.
Now, you mentioned, just rewinding a little bit, that you removed the gun from the front seat of the car. That's correct?
Yeah.
Is that how you travel around with the weapon on a normal boot?
No.
Where was the gun prior to getting on the front seat of your car? How did it arrive
usually,
on the front
usually
seat of your car?
Usually I'll have my gun holstered on me, but at that time I had it in my... it's like in the crevice of the front seats, like, you know what I mean? It's just tough.
In between the front seat and the shifting column, or is there like a column in the middle, or is it?
The seat in the armrest part, like, it's like...
Seat in the armrest, okay.
Yeah,
so why wasn't it on your person if that's normally...
Because I was going in the gas station and coming back. Like I said, I wasn't going there to start anything or anything like that, so I just kept it in there. I'm just going to get some gas and my products and going to my memo house.
Did you lock the vehicle when you were...
Every time.
Okay.
Every time. Every time.
All right. No further questions.
Supportive questions? Chief?
What? You keep saying products. What products are you talking about?
My backwards. I smoke cigars.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's what the report said. Yeah, but you were saying products.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My backwards products.
That
yeah.
was weird. Also, you said you acknowledge your mistakes and that you made a mistake. What mistake are you talking about?
Just taking it to, not even taking it, just not, not taking it slow, you know, relaxing, just leaving it be. Just walking away and just let them do what he wanted to do, you know, which is whatever he did. I don't.
So, are you saying it was a mistake to take the gun out of the car?
It was a mistake to interact with him even more.
Well, you had to interact with him in the store.
As far as him coming out of the store, after the fact that we had our.
I understand that you it's hazy and you're not sure if you pointed the gun at him, but the witness said you did, but whatever. Would that be a mistake if you had pointed the gun at him?
Yes.
All right, thanks. Yes. Thank you.
Colonel.
Yeah. One question. Was there a point when the clerk came out of the store, he's going to take your place? Is there any point or any time frame in which you could have just gotten your car and left?
No, but the gas was still pumping at the time.
Okay, so you were actively pumping yeah. gas, or was it already like one of the automatic?
No, I was pumping the gas. All
right, so he came. You were pumping the gas. He came around the back of the car.
Yeah.
Closed the trunk.
Slammed the trunk.
Slammed the trunk. You were done pumping gas. Were you done pumping gas at this point?
It was close to the gas being finished. Yes.
All right. So was the gun? Was you finished pumping gas and put the gas away, the pump away, and then went and retrieved the firearm?
No.
So
no,
it was pumping gas when you went and retrieved the firearm.
Yes.
Right. Could you have shut the gas off? Put the, you know, pump away, got in the car and left? Instead of, just got in your car and instead of retrieving the firearm and escalating the interaction, could you have just left?
I was just wanting to get everything that I paid for. That's the only thing. I just wanted to get my gas and go. That's it.
And so you're on accelerated rehabilitation now,
yes,
correct?
Sir.
Were there anything you had to do for that? Any programs, any classes to take?
No classes. There's no stipulations on there.
Okay.
If the officer was to pull me over, there's no, I can have police contact. You know what I mean? Like, you know, some people can't have police contact if they are on a program. I don't have any stipulations on there at all.
No stipulations regarding having a pistol permit or anything like that?
As far as, there's for the program, you have certain things, guidelines you have to follow in order to.
Yep. I'm just curious about during the AR, is there any stipulation regarding being able to contain the pistol permit?
I represented them in the hearing, so I can represent that there are no prohibitions.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
I'm sorry, how about having a pistol permit?
Nothing was discussed regarding firearms or pistols.
Okay, thank you, because you said firearms. So I didn't know. Make sure.
That was a person.
Okay, thank you.
Having spent a lot of time in the lovely city of Bridgeport, and especially in the Fairfield Avenue section of town, and especially during the pandemic, can you understand how the clerk may have been on edge to begin with?
I'm going to check that question to ask him for what the clerk was thinking.
Yeah, that's speculation.
Okay.
Yeah, that's never speculation. Mind then. That's fine. Other questions or anybody else on the board? Mr. No. Gray.
When did you learn the clerk was armed?
When he came outside to shut my trunk.
Yeah. So when you were in the store, you didn't have no reason to understand if he was armed? And then when he came out, how did you learn? Did he grab it? Did he show it? Did he make a gesture? How did you learn that he was armed?
He came outside, and like I said, I just looked down. You know, I look at everybody. You know, the statue and the build, and where he was just, you know, moving around, it was just like a, I don't know, some type of motion. But I seen the handle, I seen the butt of the gun, and it was just like, let me get my distance, like, from this guy, like, because I don't know what is he thinking, I don't know what he's going to do, I don't know how he feels, I don't know what he's been through that day, I don't know.
He had some indication of how he felt after you argued with him in store?
He seemed a little, like I said, he said I called him a racist, but I never called a man a racist. Like, I said respect goes a long way. That's all I said to him. I never called this man a racist out of, not one time, or even gesture to it. For him to come out and say, don't call me a racist, well, I'm not a racist. I've never said that.
Did you see him pull his shirt back?
He did. He had a jacket on, so He came out the store like a slight gesture with his, you know, to rush his coat back.
Do you think you grabbing your firearm deterred him?
It definitely kind of leveled the playing field, so you see that he's not the only one that's legal to carry a firearm. That's when, after the gas and everything was almost done pumping, he started to, you know, back once I showed him.
When did he go back in the store?
You said when?
Yep, when. Like, at what point in the incident did he go back in the store?
That's when he finished taking a picture of my license plate and...
After he saw that you were armed?
Yeah.
Did you point the gun at him? Do you go to that store often?
I used to. Never had a problem with anybody in that store.
And last, did you make the complaint to the manager?
I wasn't able to go back to the store. I didn't want to go back there. Anything to go down, you know, I didn't want to go back there. I stay away from things that's going to bring me harm or trouble. That's how I live my life in Bridgeport for 30 plus years. I stay away from trouble. I do my own thing. I don't follow the crowd. That's the way I live my life. I don't go around through the trouble. So.
Any questions?
I just have one more.
I do.
Doctor?
Good morning.
How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good.
Okay. If you were to be in a situation like this again, and someone disrespected you, would you handle it any differently? And if so, how?
You mean disrespected?
Yeah.
I'm gonna walk away. As I always did. At that time, I didn't feel like I could walk away because my gas was pumping, and you know, all my gas was pumping, so I really couldn't.
Well, you had an opportunity to walk away after the initial encounter, rather than taking his photograph.
That was before he came outside.
I know, but and that's what I'm talking about. If you were in a situation like that, and I was a clerk, and I treated you in a similar fashion,
right. Yeah.
Would you feel compelled to take my picture again? What have you learned anything from this incident?
No, I'm going to walk away. I'm going to walk away from the situation and ask for my money back, or you know, just take my product, my backwoods, and go. You know, I don't know what am I supposed to do without. I'm sorry to cut you off, because if I was to go back and be like, look, can I get my money back on mine? For the gas, I don't know. Like,
forget about the gas. I'm just concerned about whether you appreciate that even taking his picture was somewhat provocative. I mean, he provoked you, but then you provoked him back. And I'm just trying to understand whether you've learned anything from this incident in terms of something like that happens. It doesn't feel good.
No.
It is disrespectful. Leave the scene.
And I live with this for 4 years. After everything transpired, I thought about my actions, what I could have done it, and yes, you're absolutely right. I could have walked away from the situation, and I am going to walk away from situations if something ever was to come up like that. But the way I live my life, ma'am, is I don't come across people like that often. I literally go to work, go home to my son, go to sleep. That's my life. That's been my life before that even happened. And that's the God honest truth. Like, I don't go around looking for that. But if that would ever happen again, I wouldn't antagonize. I think I'm using the right word. I wouldn't antagonize this man or anyone. I'm taking a picture. I just walk away, leave the scene, because sure, I thought I was doing the right thing as far as, you know, calling the cops and reporting it. But the best thing for me to do is just to walk away. Talk about telling to walk away and carry on my business.
Okay, thank you.
Colonel Turkey.
Just one quick one, sir. In our packet, you said you got your permit in like December of 2020. It's probably an error or just a mistake on your part. Do you know when you got your pistol permit?
Let's see. Year or two before that. I'm not even.
Not sure. Okay.
About a year or two before that, I want to say.
Okay.
Other questions by the board?
I have one or two. Was the other person arrested? And that can go to either. If anybody knows.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
And no.
Did the other person call the police?
I don't know.
Do you know?
We do not have
a record. Is it just the appellant that called the police?
We have no record of the clerk calling the police. So.
Prior to this incident, have you ever been arrested?
No.
How about after this incident?
No.
Thank you, Pat. That's it.
Couple questions. Sir, when the clerk came out, and it sounds like you describe it as he brushed his jacket back a bit and you saw the firearm he had. Did you have fear at that point he was going to use the firearm?
I did.
Speak up. We have to transcribe, but we need a record of
no,
this.
No, I did have that fear. I don't want to bring race into this. It's not a race thing, but at that time, you know, we just struck down more than anybody for no reason. And I could have been a statistic, mm-hmm. and for nothing. Like I said, I keep my nose clean. I don't go threatening or trying to harm anyone because karma's a you know what, and I'm not about that. I don't want karma to come to me because I know it'll hit 10 times harder. My stepmom always told me that, and something happens to her, she's like, oh, that must have been karma from this time or this time. But so I don't want that. I don't need that for my son because I know if I was a parent, it would go on to him like his karma. So I just want people to know, like, and see him. Well, your father is very respectful, your man. He worked his butt off, and he sees that. You know, I'm with him every day of his life.
Thank you. In the report, and I'm just asking because this is something the report says you said, so I'm going to ask you this question. Did you say to the clerk, after taking photos of his plate, that you were going to find out where he lives?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Okay, and just a couple questions for counsel. You represented him, or are representing him, in the underlying criminal matter. What's the AR period, is it?
It was 1 year, and the termination date will be June 26, 2024.
And no anger management classes ordered?
there was some counseling he did prior.
Okay.
To earn.
What was my other question? Is the pending charge still threatening one?
I believe it is, yes.
And was that a class D or class C?
It would have been a D.
Your lawyer did a good job getting you into that program. It's not easy to do. That's it. I have for questions. Follow up.
Just one, maybe for the lieutenant. Procedural. If would SLFU, I guess it's a revocation, so reissue with the pending charge till June?
No.
Nope.
And
that's just my quandary, Counselor.
Other questions by the board?
I just have a question for the state.
Yes.
I'm trying to understand the appellant place the call to the police.
Mm.
Even though the witness indicated that the appellant appointed the gun at the clerk, isn't it unusual at a gas station for a clerk behind the glass to come out and approach someone who's pumping gas? Wouldn't that be, I don't understand why that wasn't perceived as a threatening gesture on the part of the clerk.
In my own training and experience, right, I'm only talking from personal experience here, it is unusual for the clerk to come out, especially where there is a partition, unless there's some kind of issue going on with the gas station, there's a problem with the pumps, a customer needs assistance or
right.
something. Yes, so it is unusual, that's all I can say about it. And in terms of your other question, and my reading of the report, this is my own personal reading of the report, it is unclear of who the reporting party is in this report. It does not identify it. We would use a indicator of C for complainant on them. That indicator is not present within the heading of this report, just for the board's full knowledge here. We don't know if there were cross calls made, if the appellant and the clerk called, or what happened, because it is not indicated in the report. So you can take that for what you will.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
I just want to be clear what you said. He's got a pending felony and disqualifier right now until June 26th. Mm-hmm. And even if the board said yes, issue SLF, you would not issue the permit.
Correct. We're statutorily prohibited from reissuing while there is a pending felony of this nature.
All right, thank you.
Could I just ask a follow-up question out of ignorance on my part? If the board were to find in favor of the appellant, you couldn't issue now, but would you issue after the June date?
That has not occurred before, in my knowledge.
To kind of put things on pause for a period of time?
Yeah, there would need to be some research for that question. We would have to respect the ruling of the board, but we could not reissue at least until June if there's a full reissue. So. Yeah.
Would that matter be procedural? Would he have to reapply or would place a phone call, call the detective?
It would be procedural, yes. Yeah.
Counsel, or either one, AR is a dismissal, not a nolle, right?
It's a dismissal.
Okay.
And a complete erasure as well.
Right.
I would also just inquire, the disqualifier is for a conviction. And he has not been convicted.
Right. So the disqualifier would not exist.
Right.
Should the AR.
Yeah, I think it's the interim between now and June.
Yes.
Other questions? Closing statement by appellant's counsel?
For 30 plus years, the appellant was a law-abiding citizen, never had contact with the police or with the court system. In the 4 years since the incident, he's been a law-abiding citizen. He cares for his son, he's gainfully employed. I think the evidence and testimony shows that the clerk was the aggressor. He followed the appellant out to his car. There's an issue with regard to a furtive movement of some type, exposing a firearm. Only at that point is when the appellant retrieved the firearm from his vehicle. He said he was in fear. He didn't escalate. There's some question if he pointed, he didn't point. He doesn't really remember right at this moment. That aggression on the part of the clerk, the fact that the appellant did not reach for a firearm until he felt in fear. And his conduct after the incident, he called 911. And so he reached out to the police. No, the police responded to the scene and interviewed witnesses there. The appellant wasn't there. By the time he got to his home, it appears they were ready to make an arrest. Didn't interview him at his house. Finally, I would say, and I understand the quandary of the pending charges, I would suggest a possible reinstatement, conditional reinstatement, upon successful completion of the AR, if that is within the board's power to order that.
I think that's what it would be. And I'm sorry that I have a question. I hate doing this. When people do it. Was there an objection to the AR from the victim?
No, there was not.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions to follow up from that question that I took really out of order?
Yeah.
Okay. right. Closing statement.
Thank you. So the state was at somewhat of a disadvantage here, not having our witness appear today. However, I would like to highlight several points of the appellant's testimony today. There was a crystal clarity to the appellant's testimony of pretty much every event that unfolded until we got to the critical moment, right, which is whether or not that gun was pointed at the body or the face or whatever of that clerk. And those of us who have been, I speak from personal experience, in a firearms-related situation know that those moments are etched into your memory. They don't go away afterwards. It's almost like a PTSD-type reaction that occurs, and it will replay over and over again. So I would ask the board to carefully consider giving weight to the appellant's testimony that there is no recollection of whether or not that firearm was pointed at that clerk. I would also call the board's attention in the report to the third-party corroboration of a completely disinterested witness that is in the report of the sequence of events that occurred today, and ask the board to carefully consider that corroboration before rendering a decision today. Outside of the complicated issues involving AR, I think we have a suitability case here. I think any time where a gun comes out in a verbal argument, we do not have a suitable individual there, and these things could escalate further into situations that end, as we all know, very badly. Thank you.
I'm sorry. Was there something in the record where the witness corroborated that I'm missing? Can somebody point me there? Or?
Yes, I couldn't examine the appellant directly about it, but if you refer to page 3 of 5 of the report, first paragraph, there is independent witness corroboration of the events.
Okay, thank you. Follow-up questions on that?
Well, just a brief reply. The appellant, I think, has addressed this board and shown that he's a calm, thoughtful, respectful man. I believe on the whole, his testimony was very forthright and honest. Yes, there's that one moment that he said he can't recall. And that's it. Oh, I do want to address one other thing.
Yeah.
This was more than a verbal argument. This was a verbal argument that was escalating because of the clerk, and the clerk introduced the firearm into this incident. And the appellant, in fear, then retrieved his firearm. He didn't go get his firearm when he was having a disagreement with the clerk. He didn't go get his firearm when the clerk came out and slammed the trunk of his car. It was only when he saw the clerk's firearm that he felt in fear, and then he retrieved his own firearm.
Follow-up.
Just very briefly, again, I refer the board to the first paragraph of page 3 of 5 of the report. The witness had the events reversed, that there was a gun pointed at the clerk, and then the clerk revealed the concealed holstered weapon on his head. I leave the board with that.
Brief factual.
Sure. This is a revocation by the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection. The revocation was for pending felony firearms charge. The state put on a suitability case today. The basis for the revocation incident occurred in November of 2020. The appellant went to a convenience store to purchase some items. A verbal argument occurred with the clerk. The appellant went outside, then came back in to take a picture of the clerk, and went back out to so he could make a complaint to the store manager at a later date. The clerk went outside. The appellant's trunk was open. The clerk slammed the appellant's trunk down, purportedly to take a picture of the appellant's license plate. some point, the appellant saw a firearm on the appellant's hip. The appellant retrieved his firearm, his handgun, from the front seat of his vehicle. The reports versus the testimony somewhat differs slightly. The appellant believes he only held it in his hand in front of him. There is a witness that stated that the appellant pointed the firearm, his firearm, at the clerk. The appellant, they then separated. The appellant left. The appellant immediately, or after he left, did call 911. Seems like he was cooperative with the police. No other criminal history. He is on AR, been on AR without any issues since this occurred. He has had his permit 1 to 2 years before this occurrence happened.
Comments by the board?
All right, don't say anything. The,
it's, can I just make, I do sure. think you misspoke just slightly.
Okay, sure.
When you mentioned that at some point you saw a firearm on the appellant's hip, it was
oh, I'm sorry.
Clerk.
Yeah, the clerk.
I just
no, that's fine.
Clerk.
Yep. The I find this a difficult case. It seems like the appellant has lived a very respectful life, pretty no issues with the law for quite a few years. Thirty something years old. One incident. Having the firearm, you know, in the front seat of the vehicle, unattended, no matter for a brief period of time, is somewhat concerning. You know, and then retrieving it, when at the same time, you know, I think you could have left, is a little bit, you know, it's a judgment call there a little bit. My biggest concern is, with this case, is the appellant right now is not eligible to have a pistol permit, and whether we can order the state to issue a permit and what that ensues is concerning for me. It would have been, there had been some type of agreement before it got to here regarding the issuance. We may not be here today, but right now I'm concerned whether we have the authority to off to order the state to issue a permit when he is ineligible. That's my concern.
And I agree.
Well, I don't think we can order the state to do anything. I think all we can do is decide the appeal.
Yeah.
And then they can do whatever they have to do statutorily.
Yeah.
Other comments? Attorney
Sinetti? I'm willing to assume that the gun was actually pointed at the clerk. I agree with the state's characterization that's the one area that's nebulous, really shouldn't be nebulous. Having said that, if that's what he had done to an unarmed person, clearly that would not be suitable conduct. You know, an argument does not justify pulling a gun on somebody and pointing it at someone. However, that was done in light of the fact that the person approaching him in an aggressive manner was armed. And we issue permits in the state of Connecticut for purposes of self-defense. And if he genuinely felt threatened, both subjectively and objectively, he would have been justified in producing the firearm to stop the threat. Having said that, again, I agree it's a difficult case. And my first impression of it was an overreaction. Listening to the testimony back and forth on this, I think it may have been a justifiable action.
Other comments? Chief?
Same issues the Graham brought up. The handling of the gun, the way it's stored, walking away from the gun, pointing it at the at the clerk are all troubling. But the fact that there's a pending felony case that should the appellant be reoffend between now and June 26th could be opened up again is problematic. It would have been better to hear this case, in other words, in August for me.
Could you just repeat the last part of what you said, Chief? Because I couldn't hear you way down.
Yeah, he's on accelerated rehabilitation, which means he's on sort of like probation, where as long as he completes it successfully, his case will be dismissed in June. However, if he doesn't complete it successfully, the case can be reopened. Doesn't mean he's convicted automatically. That there still have to be more a process, but it's, you know, it's not over yet. It's pending, and that's, and we're not, you can tell, the test, we're not sure exactly how the state would handle that right now.
For me, that's an extra layer that supports us handling the appeal, because the state cannot reissue under the circumstance where there's a violation, our AR doesn't work out. So we don't have that, I don't see that as a responsibility for us in handling this appeal. The state will do that through the SFLU. Something.
Makes sense to me. Other comments? Okay. Dr. Conrad.
I'm going to vote for the appellant. I feel that he presented himself well. I am concerned that one aspect of did you or did you not point the gun at the clerk was cloudy, where everything else that you talked about was crystal clear, including how you handled the gun at the end of the interaction. But I am impressed that you've been a solid citizen, and I think it's our job to decide whether there's a suitability issue or not, and it's then the state's job to determine subsequently when and under what circumstances to reissue.
Thank you. Attorney Cinetti.
When I first read the materials, I was fully in line with the state's position. Having listened to the appellant today, I'm leaning in his direction, and I guess I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, so I'll vote for the appellant.
Mr. Gray.
Appellant.
Colonel Overturf.
Since it was presented as a suitability case, I'm going to vote for the appellant.
Colonel Lewis.
The appellant.
Ms. Johnson.
Issuing authority at this time.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority also. Issuing authority. Okay.
I agree with a lot of what Attorney Cinetti just said, so I'm not going to repeat it. But I also want to state for the record, not having Bridgeport or the alleged victim or the witness here really put the state at a disadvantage. So I'm accordingly voting for the appellant. That's 6-2 in favor of the appellant. Thank you all.
Thank you.